Yud Tzivon, Sunday the 12th of June, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, the Koach of Kaddish.
Good morning all. First, let me explain how I get here. This is the inaugural move from the Minyan until you are ready to go back. And it was considered appropriate that my brother, Zorov of the Shul, should be the one to make the first appearance. But he is in the Holy Land at the moment, and I'm going to join him there this afternoon. But Debbie gave me the opportunity of standing in for my younger brother, and that's how I get here today. The second part is the topic. I thought it would be appropriate, since we're doing the Matseva for my mother tomorrow, to have something to do with Avelis of some sort, but preferably not a morbid part of the Avelis, something, an exciting and jolly part of the Avelis, which is the Kaddish is very often misunderstood as being something of mourning, a sort of a eulogy on the Niftar. It's nothing like that at all. It's a very exciting prayer, and I thought we would talk about that. But now comes the mistake. I calculated that this is my 28th time that I'm actually here. And based on that, that 28 and Kaddish go together like a hand in glove, and that's why the title is called the Koach, Koach being 28 of Kaddish. And I'd all prepared to talk all about that topic, and then I realised when I made a rather more detailed check, it's only the 27th time, not the 28th. So the Ganser Torah fell to the ground, except, of course, as you say, in gematrias you can have one for the kolam. So, or alternatively, in the hope that I'll be invited once more, at least, we can talk about 28 now. Now, what you've got in front of you is an analysis of Kaddish. It's far too much to do in this particular half an hour. It would take a long, long time, but I thought it would be interesting because it does set out the basis of all the background to Kaddish. We're not going to go through the whole thing. I'm going to try to concentrate on the numerology of Kaddish, but in order to get there, we've got to understand what it's all about. Now, the first thing is, what is its origin? The origin of Kaddish is very ancient. It's already mentioned in the Gemara, as we know, Moran Sota. So if it's already in the Gemara, it goes back a long, long way. I don't know whether it goes right back to Moshe Rabbeinu, but certainly it has got a very, very venerable history. It's not just a newfangled thing which came out at a much later stage. It is a very ancient matter, and you've got various references which you can check them up further to see that it is a very important tefillah. The origin of it being said by Yesomim is a well-known medrash. Everybody knows this medrash, but there are a lot of different versions of the story of Rabbi Akiva, who saw this man who was absolutely burnt up and he was in a terrible state, and he said, absolutely impossible for me to get any kapora at all because I did some terrible avodah during my lifetime. According to the medrash, he was Boel and Narom Rosa on Yom Kippur. Can you imagine a worse crime than that at a worse time? And he said, therefore, there's no hope for me, I'm finished. So Rabbi Kiv said, look, nobody's finished. Is there nothing which can be done for you? He said, well, had I had a son, and my son had gone in the right direction, that would have been mechapa for me, but I didn't have a son. I left my wife, and well, she was pregnant when I died, but I don't know what happened to her, I don't know where he is. And he gave the name of his town and the place, and Rabbi Kiv says, don't worry, I'm going to look for that son. Rabbi Akiva went from town to town and eventually found the chap, he found the son, and it says that what Rabbi Akiva did when he taught him Aleph Beis, he taught him Chumash, he taught him everything. And at the moment when he said Amenu Shmerabo, and when he said the Kaddish, and the different versions, some say he said, when he said the boy said the Maftir, that's why it's a very common custom to call up a novel for Maftir, and others say when he went to the Omers, different versions, and that's where it comes from that the Yesomim say Kaddish, and they daven at the Omers, and they take Maftir when they can get it. And different versions of Rabbi Akiva, when he went back, he saw this gentleman again, he saw it all cleaned up, and the man said, what a tremendous thing you've done for me, you've saved my position in the Yenavelt, all through the fact that this son is a big zchus for me. So a son can be a zchus. However, you've got to understand that Kaddish is not just simply an Azkora. It's not just an Keil Moly Rachamim, which we say on the Niftar. It's got nothing to do with that. The Kaddish actually is a very joyful prayer, and it's based on the fact that you are going to be memale the chisoron in the world. If somebody disappears from this world, you would have had zechuyos. Wherever it is, there must have been something good that that person did. If the person's a big Talmud Chacham, a big Askin, a big Baal Chesed, there's a tremendous void when that person leaves. And that means there's less Kiddush Hashem in the world. It's our job to be memale that chisoron, and therefore, particularly the children, have a duty to be Mekadish Shem Shomayim. So when you say Mekadish, you're not saying something miserable about the Niftar. What you're actually saying is, I'm taking upon myself the inyan of making a Kiddush Hashem, so HaKadosh Kadash Shemei Rabol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kiddush Hashem should be rejuvenated. Now you can, if you do that, you've got to do that with joy and with love. So clearly the Kaddish changes from just being some sort of dirge to being some really wonderful tefillah which should be said with great kavona. Just quickly running down the list I've got here, which I've got called the efficacy of the prayer, where we've already seen what happened with Rabbi Akiva. But there's another thing. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Kol ha'omer amen yehei shemei rabo b'chol koichai koiri lo gezar dina. Whatever bad din you might have had, that Kol Yivarku will remove that. So amen yehei shemei rabo, which is the essential part of the Kaddish, the centrality of the Kaddish is amen yehei shemei rabo, and everybody knows that that's the most important response, more important than Kedusha, more important than Baruch Hu. You can answer it anywhere with the exception of Shemayin Esra. You can't interrupt Shemayin Esra, but anywhere else, Amen Yehi Shemei Rabo takes precedence. And if you've got a Shaila, I can catch an Amen Yehi Shemei Rabo in one shul, and I can catch a Baruch Hu in the other shul, but I can't get them both at the same shul, if such circumstances were to exist, you go to the place where you'll catch your Amen Yehi Shemei Rabo. And we know the Gemara says...
Putting on tefillin, you have to...
You're not mafsik for tefillin. There are places where you're not allowed to be mafsik at all. While you put in between the tefillin and shalei anshel, you're not mafsik. It's like the middle of Shemayin Esra. And similarly, Shem Elokeich and MS, you're not allowed to be mafsik. There are certain places where you're not allowed to be mafsik under any circumstances. I'm sorry if I misled you slightly when I said only Shemayin Esra. You're quite right. There are one or two other occasions where you cannot be mafsik, even for that. That means you can't be mafsik for anything. Well done. Thank you for pointing that out. Good. So, in between the Tefillin Shalei and Tefillin Shalosh, you're not masik for anything, and similarly, in Shemayin Esra, and also between Hashem Elokeichem and MS, you're not allowed to be masik. But that's easy, because you just say the next word and you get through it, you're no problem. Alright. But what I'm trying to show is, Amen Yishmei Rabo is the most important part. And the Gemara says in Sota, that the whole world exists on the Amen Yishmei Rabo de Agadita and on the Kedusha de Sidra. When the Gemara says Amen Yishmei Rabo de Agadita, a very famous machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam, one says Davka Agadita, because Agadita's got this special inyan, special zechus of Musa and a sort of special relationship to Hashem, whereas the others say, if already on Agadita you've got to say Amen Yishmei Rabo, you've got to say Kaddish Rabon, Kal Vachoyma, if you're doing Halacha. So it's a machlokas. So the Maisa, that's where all the Rabbi Chanani ben Akashia comes from. And Omer Rabbi Loza, when you've had a halachic shir, we always finish off with Rabbi Chanani ben Akashia or Omer Rabbi Loza. But you know, there's reasons why one's chosen one place, one in the other place. That's in order that you should have some inyan of Agoda, in order that you should yotze l'chol ha'deis. But according to many, you don't have to do that because it's a Kal Vachoyma. If already in Agoda you say Kaddish Rabon, Kal Vachoyma on the halacha. But in order to be yotze the other shita, which is Davka, we do that, and then everybody's yes. You'd always see after Ashir, you'd always see Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha in order to know that you're yotze. But what we're seeing is Amen Yishmei Rabo, the whole world depends upon it, and you can answer it b'chol koichoy. Now this is a very famous machlokas about how you answer Amen Yishmei Rabo. Not everyone knows this. The din is you do not answer Amen louder than the person who makes the bracha. If you make a bracha, you're not allowed to say louder than the person, because it's a pekisus hakovod for the bracha. Somebody's saying, God, until you shout out. You've got to say it not louder than the person who makes the bracha. So if anybody makes the bracha, you answer amen. Don't say it louder than the mevorech. However, in the case of amen yeshmei rabo, there's a machlok between the gesher achayim and the kaf achayim. The kaf achayim is just as the Gemara says, you're not allowed to answer amen to any bracha louder than the mevorech. Therefore, you don't answer amen yeshmei rabo louder than the mevorech. You've got to keep the same level. So all the amens in Kaddish should not be shouted out louder than the chazan. However, the Gesher Chaim disagrees. He says, "V'bar the Gemara says, that overrides the din of saying amen at the same level, and therefore you should say amen as loud as you can. It should be bouncing off the wall, and even louder than the chazan." So you've got a very interesting machlokus as to how to do it. Only in Amen Yishmei Rabbah, and all the other Amens you say at the same level. What's the practical consequence of this is that the Chazan or the Shliach Tzibur should make jolly sure he says it aloud. Because if he says it quietly, he's machshil a lot of people. He should say that aloud so that when people answer, they can listen at the same, they can say it at the same level. So if you see a Chazan shouting when he comes to that Amen, don't worry too much, he's doing the right thing. Alright, that's all just agav urcha, just showing you the power of the amen yeshmei rabbah, which is the centrality of the there are a lot of remozim, which is really what I wanted to talk about more than the actual halachas of kaddish itself. But there's an interesting one. Amen yeshmei rabbah is the ashrei, which we say before Tehillah LeDavid. People ask, why do we add this ashrei? It's not part of the mizrach. It's Tehillah LeDavid. The Gemara actually says kol ha'omer Tehillah LeDavid. In another place it says Asher, but we always have the word Asher. I once saw that the word Asher is Rosh Tevis Amen Yeshmei Rabbah. So you should know that when you're saying Asher, you have in mind it has the same koyach as the Amen Yeshmei Rabbah. And also when you say Paseach HaSedech, in Asher you put your hand over your head and you kiss the tefillin, you have an extra kavonis. Similarly, they suggest that one of the koyaches of the Amen Yeshmei Rabbah comes from Bilam. Bilam says, Tomos Nashi Mos Yeshorim. Let me die the death of the Yeshorim. Why did he say death of the Yeshorim? Tomos Nashi Mos Tzadikim. What's so special about Yeshorim? Well, there's something special about Yeshorim. But one of the pshatim is, Yeshorim stands for Yehei Shemei Rabo Mevorach. So Bilam was the source of Yehei Shemei Rabo Mevorach. And we know that all that Bilam said was mishapech to become a bracha for Klal Yisrael, like we start off davening, Ma'atovu, which is from Bilam. That's the very first thing we say. And they actually wanted to include Parshas Bilam in the Krishna, and they couldn't do it for various reasons. The Gemara says that they didn't do it l'maisa. Too much tichet in Sibur, it took too long. But anyhow, you see that there is in Yeshmei Rabbah all sorts of interesting remozim. Let's just turn over the page. We mentioned that the union of why we do it. And then let's look at the language. It was written in Aramaic, not in Hebrew. You'd have thought such a holy tefillah, like Kedusha or Shemayin Esther, you've expected it to be in Hebrew. Why did it get into Aramaic? So there's two basic answers. One is that it's such an important tefillah that the Hamon Am had to say. It's not like the one which is said by the Shliach Tzibur, and we all respond. This is said by everybody, every other, every person. Therefore, it had to be said in the vernacular, and therefore it was composed in Aramaic, which also tends to make us believe that it was post-biblical, because had it been the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, it would have been in Hebrew. But since at the time of the Gemara, they talked in Aramaic, Masechet Sofrim and the Gemara were all Aramaic, and the Hamonam all talked in that language, therefore Kaddish was in a language which was available for everybody. With the exception of the first two words, Iskadal and Iskadash, which is Hebrew. Because they wanted that to start off with Lashon HaKodesh. And you have a famous machlokas, is it to have Iskadal or is it Iskadel? Now the point is this, it's a Hebrew word, therefore some say it should be Iskadel, which would be the Hebrew. However, it's a Hebrew word which is transliterated into an Aramaic setting. So although it's a Hebrew word, in Aramaic you have a verb in that form, and therefore it should be Iskadal. What do you do? I'll tell you exactly what you do. You do what your father did before when he said Kaddish on his father. That's the only answer. Because whichever way you learn, you could learn it, it can be Iskadal, Iskadel, Iskabal, Iskabel. You can prove it 100% both ways. So the only way you're going to know how to do this is How your Rebbe taught you, how your father taught you, that's the only way. Because both ways make sense. I've seen Sforovich say that one way is completely wrong, and that sefer is wrong, because we've both got a Masaira. Whether you say Yisgadal, which sounds a bit more United Synagogue, or whether you say Yisgadel, which sounds more Yeshivish, that's not a factor. The factor is not whether you want to look more Yeshivish by saying Yisgadel, or you want to look more modern by saying Yisgadal. Both have their makar, and both have their reasons. One is because it's the word is a Hebrew word, therefore it should be gadol. And the other is because it's a Hebrew word which has been incorporated into a Aramaic context. So even if you use a Hebrew word, you've got to use it in the same form as the Aramaic word, and therefore the Aramaic form of the word is yisgadah. It's very much like when you take a foreign word into the language. You know, when they take the word in football, they take the word goal into modern Hebrew, it remains goal. Even though possibly in Hebrew it should be something else, maybe you should have a different form. But it remains, because you bring the foreign word in. But there's certain words you bring into Hebrew which do change. You know, it's no longer the same form as it came in. And I remember, never forget, in Hebrew, the word for a rear axle, a rear axle is not a rear axle. A front axle is axle kidmi. But a rear axle is a rear axle kidney. So in other words, they've taken the English word and they've Hebraicized it into a Hebrew context. So you can do that. Once you take the word into the language, some stay the same and some change. So it could be tisgabal and tisgabel. Both have their reasons for why it should be. And so therefore, don't worry too much. Just follow your nusach. And whether the shmei has got a yud or hasn't got a yud, you will say, well, you can't tell the difference in pronunciation. You can't. But in kavona, you can tell the difference. Some lipscores have shmei with a yud and some without a yud. And similarly, when you come to the olme, ololme, olmayo, there are two lipscores. One is yeheshme rabo mavorach le'olam ul'olme olmayo, which is what we say. But some say, no, it's yeheshme rabo mavorach le'olme olmayo. Lolam le'olme olmayo. There's two different nuskos. There are different nuskos. But you should know, keep the nusach which you have, because each one has got its makar and its reasons. And if you actually look to number 8 here, I've given a lot of different references to different inyonim. Some say kutsho brichu, some say brichu le'elo, and some say omei shmei rabo yisborach, and some stop. There's all sorts of different minhagim. And everybody will say that their minig is the best and their minig is the right one. You should know, yes, your minig is the right one for you. It's not necessarily the right one for Yenam. Let's get that clear. And everybody should respect everybody else's nusach. And if you're davening in a Sephardi shul, you say Yatzmach Purkane, and you say all the Yeshlomah, the long Yeshlomah. And if you're davening in an Ashkenazi shul, you leave it out. Both have got their segulas and their makoyres. But you don't change the nusach of the tzibur. That's another very important factor, because in order to just to prove your point, you may end up being over a lav diaraisa of lotis godidu. Remember that. And that that will hold us back from trying to be too clever to teach other people how to say their nuschos. Now, the main point that I want you to get at is you should know that the Kaddish is based on numerology. A lot of our davening is based on numbers. And you might say, what am I so bothered about numbers for? Well, I'll tell you. My grandfather, Zichrono Livracho, the father of my late mother, was a genius in maths. He was a maths genius. And I've inherited, not the genius, I've inherited the love for numbers. Not so much for gematrias, which you can play around with, although they are very good too, they're papros, but just the significance of numbers, they are remarkable. And in Kaddish in particular, and in Shemoneh Esrei in various places, the numbers become very, very significant. Let's just start with Shemoneh Esrei. You know that the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei has 42 words. This Mem is the Shem Mem Beis. That number 42 is a remarkable number when you get to Parshas Bolok about the set 42 korbanos, and how that because of the schus of him bringing 42 korbanos, there was a Kitrug against Klal Yisrael, and the generation after generation, which the leader had to pray that they would be protected, until it came to the time of Elisha, when the 42 youths were chutzpahdik to the Elisha, they called them Kereach, and as a result of that, they all lost their lives. That number 42 is a remarkable number. The number 42 is the Shem Mem Beis of Anah B'Choyach. It's the Shem with which the world was actually created, according to Rashi. It's a Shem with which Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Egyptian. It's called the Shem Mem Beis, which comes out from Anah B'Choyach. And in fact, the Chumash starts with a Beis, and the Mishnah starts with the Mem. It's as if telling us the Koyach of Toshav Iksav and Toshav Arpeh, the bomb, the Vedibarto bomb, that is the most important aspect. And that's why the 42 has such power. When I was a little kid, they just invented the hydrogen bomb, I remember, and the Rebbe couldn't get on with the shir because everyone was talking about bombs, atom bombs, neutron bombs, hydrogen bombs. I said, look, you've all got it wrong. Tell me what's the most important bomb. And we all tried a different bomb, and they said, you've got it all wrong. The right bomb is the Dibalto bomb. That's the bomb which is the most powerful bomb. And the Talmud thought it was a good joke, but I thought afterwards, you have this Big Bang theory. The bomb is a Big Bang theory. Our Big Bang theory is that we've got a Ribono Shel Olam, and it was created by Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. That's our bomb, the Dibalto bomb. So everything fell into place. But you see that in many, many places. So the first bracha of Shemin Esra has 42 words. Check it out. However, there's another bracha of Shemin Esra which has 42 words, and that's Alat Tzadikim. But that only applies to Nusach Ashkenaz. If you look at Nusach Sfar, it doesn't work. Very often you'll find that Nusach Ashkenaz has segulas of numbers which Nusach Sfar doesn't have. So when they applied to Chesed, you can change from Nusach Ashkenaz to Nusach Sfar was the original Nusach. Therefore you can change. The Nodi Bina got very excited and very annoyed that you should know that there are segulas in Nusach Ashkenaz which Nusach Sfar doesn't have. Yes, they've got their segulas. We've got our segulas. And I can give you a whole list of them. Unbelievable amount where Nusach Ashkenaz follows much better than Nusach Sfar in the question of numerology. In Alat Tzadikim we have 42 words. By putting in extra words, and Nishonenu and all that sort of thing, you end up. And I would always puzzle me why we say Yemu Rachamecho and they say Yemu No Rachamecho. It's so much nicer to say No, Yemu No Rachamecho. But if you put the No in, they get 43 words. So you have to leave the No out in Nusach Ashkenaz. You don't say Yemu No Rachamecho because you'll have 43 words if you do. Now the same sort of thing happens in Kaddish. Can anybody tell me where there's a group of 42 words in Kaddish? Well, you probably don't know this. It's in Al Yisrael Varabonon. In that little group of words, the Kaddish de Rabbonon, which is the main Kaddish which the Gemara is talking about for the purposes of the whole world being dependent upon it, that's got 42 words. Now, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, they say the Aro Kaddisho. We just say, how's our Kaddisho? Yeah, have a look. Okay, look at that. You see, we say Aro Hodein, and they say Aro Kaddisho Hodein, or some say Aro Kaddisho Hodein. It always puzzled me, in that case you're going to mess up the number. And then it occurred to me, well, there's another Shaila. We at the end of it say Shemayo V'Aro. And the Aro is, not everybody says Aro. Some do and some don't. And it occurred to me that it could be that the chutzlars have got to say Aro in order to get the 42 words. But in Eretz Yisrael, where you're all saying Aro Kaddisho, maybe you should leave it out. Now, I haven't seen that actually happen, but it occurs to me that that could be the pshara as to the way you get your 42 words. So the Kaddish de Rabbonon has got this special zechus. There's another zechus in Kaddish de Rabbonon, according to our nusach, but not according to other nusachos, that we've got, and that's this, that in the whole of Kaddish there's one letter missing. You all heard it 10 times a day. Did you not notice there was a letter missing in Kaddish? Every single letter in Kaddish, bar one. And it's not the letter Samach. It's not the Samach which you think sort of the bad letter. No, it's not that. It's the letter Tess. There's no letter Tess in our Kaddish. Except in Kaddish de Rabbonon, where our minhag is to add in Tovim. We add in Toivin into our Kaddish in Nusach Ashkenaz, and we finish off with Rachamim. The Sephardim say Toivim all the time. The Hasidim say Toivim all the time, so they don't have that particular Segula. They always have the test. But we Ashkenaz, Nusach Ashkenaz, do not have the test, and you know what a test represents. Test, the Gemara says, why was there no test in the Bris Rishonos? Chas Rishon Poska Toivim Me Klal Yisrael, and they had a test in the second. So we see that where a test is there, it's that additional factor of Tov, which is perfection, which is the idea of Ruch Nisdik of perfection. That only occurs in the Durabonon Kaddish with us. Because it's only the Rabbonon who can give that Zuchus of the true Tov. So when we say Kaddish and we add in the word Toivim, you should remember why we're adding it in. It's the only test in the whole of Kaddish, and it only comes in our Nusach and Tadish Rabbonon. So we're seeing little things which are happening in the Kaddish which you don't normally notice. Let me get to the main point of the exercise, which is number 28. Now, this number 28 is definitely the basis of Kaddish. And if you look at Yeshmei Rabbah has 28 letters, and it's got 7 words. Where else do you find that phenomenon of a posik with 7 words and 28 letters? I think I've forgotten to write it down here, because it wasn't by Kaddish. The very first posik of Chumash, Bereishis, has 7 words and 28. I've written it on the side, did I? Oh, good. I've written it at the side. Thank you. Yeah, I wrote it in afterwards. This piece here. This Bereishis has got 7 words and 28 letters. The first posik of Chumash! It's telling us something. It's telling us that this number has a special koyach. Now, the next time it occurs, or not necessarily the next time, but another case where it occurs, is the very posuk before the Aseres HaDibros. The posuk before Anochi also has 7 words and 28 letters. Now, that's not a mikra. The first posuk of Chumash, the posuk before Aseres HaDibros, and there's a posuk in this week's Seder, which has 8 words and 28 letters, and that's the famous posuk, Ato Yigdal Lo Koyach Hashem Kasher Dibarto Lemer. The Yud is written large, because that root represents Hashem. That has actually got 8 words, not 7 words, but it's got 28 letters. And it's interesting, the Koyach Hashem in that posuk is not Yud Kei Vov Kei, it's Aleph Dalet. Koyach Hashem with an Aleph Dalet. 28 times 65, this is a simple gematria, is 1820. 1820 are the number of Shemas in Chumash, and that's a story on its own. If you ever let me get going on that, I would love to have a share just on that number, 1820. It's a remarkable number. A remarkable number, what's on 1820. But anyhow, it is the number of times that you've got Shemas in Chumash, and there's so many other remarkable examples of that 1820. You find them all the time. Just give you one little example, which I heard that last week from Rabbi David Lein. I was telling him all David Lein is busy, you know, with all the letters and all the numbers and at Manchester. And I sent him a whole lot of the Rishonim. He was very impressed, and he wrote back saying, "Here's one you probably haven't heard," and I hadn't. Do you know what the 1820th pasuk of Chumash is? Well, it's Hachodesh Elohim. Rashi in the beginning of Chumash says that the Torah should have started in Hachodesh Elohim. It should have started there. It only had to tell all this extra bit. So we should know about Reishis, we should know about Yichus and Eretz Yisrael. But the real place where Chumash really should have started or would have started is Hachodesh. Well, it's 1820. What do you expect? So what you see here is that's just one little example of this number 1820. We find Soid Hashem Liyareov. Abyssal Hodeim, in Tehillim. Soid is 70, Hashem is 26. 70, 22 times 26, again it's 1820. So Soid Hashem, or Kashed, Koyach Hashem with the Aleph Dalet, both of those come to 1820. So we're seeing that there's some special significance in this number 28. Now, where in Tanakh do you find 28? 28:18. Come on. Yeah. Koheles. In the beginning of the third chapter of Koheles, it tells us all about 28 different itim. Why does get 28? Next question. Where do we have a mitzvah which we can be mekayim only once every 28 years? Because of Hamah. Both these have got to do with time. It seems that Koyach has to do with the cycle of time, going back to the beginning again. Just like there are 28 different times you do things, and just like the Birchas HaChamot comes when the whole of the world has gone back to its initial source, to everything's in the right place where it was, that seems to be the koyach of koyach, to bring us back to where we should be, so Yeshmei Rabba has that same koyach. That's what koyach is. And that's what Kaddish is. Kaddish is to be Mekaddish Shem Shamayim, in the same way that we should be get back, so to speak, to the Bria Sa'olam again and have a new rejuvenation. That's why Kaddish is based on 28. So what we said is that Yemei Yeshmei Rabba has 28 letters, and that is the essence. Everybody agrees with that. Now, the 28 also it manifests itself in 28 words from Yeshmei Rabba until Da'amiran Yoma in the end of the main Kaddish. That's everybody agrees with that. And therefore, during the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, where you have to put in the next word, Le'elo, Le'elo, you've got to take one word out. So it becomes me. Everybody agrees with that, there's no argument. Le'elo, Le'elo becomes Nikon. Because you've got to preserve that 28 words. Now, so that's two lots of 28. But I found a third lot of 28 in Kaddish, which only works according to the Nusach Ashkenaz. If you start from Yiskada and you go to the end of Yeshmei Rabba, that's 28 words. But not if you hear Nusach Tzad, because they say Yatzmach Bukhani Rekori Mashiche. Oh, you see, Nusach Ashkenaz has an adifus in that respect. So, but what's the chat in Nusach Tzad? I was worried. You know, here I'm so proud of Nusach Ashkenaz. What's the chat in Nusach Tzad? Well, I looked in the Kaf HaChaim, who's the Posek for the Sfardim, and it comes out the following. Let me tell you what it says. It says, you should know that the whole of Kaddish is, and it comes, quotes in the Shara Kavonis, I think. That's already from the Arizal and from very great Kabbalistic sources, which, not my field. I'm quoting, so it's alright. He says like this, there are four tables in Yisgadah, Yisgadah, Shmei Rabo, Kineged, the four osis of Hashem. Yisgadah, Yisgadah, Shmei Rabo, four words, Kineged, the four letters of Hashem, four letters of Hashem. Then, from Ba'omo to Mishiche, you have 10 more words. That's if you say Yatzmach Bukhani Rekhari Mashiach, which we don't say. But according to what they say and the Chassidim say, you say Mashiach has 10 words. What's Pshat 10 words? That's the Minui of Hashem. Yud is 3 letters. He is 2 letters, twice, because you've got 2. So that's 3 plus 2 plus 2 is 7. And the Vav is 3 letters, Vav Yud Vav. So you've got 10 letters. So the Yisgadah represents 4 of Hashem. And from there to Mashiach represents 10, which is the milui of Hashem. What do you do with Chayech Ruvi Omecha? And where does he leave that out? As far as that doesn't count. That's just a tefillah. There's a bit of a doche, but he says, we count it in my 28, but he leaves it out. He says, that's really just a tefillah which is stuck in by accident. Well, not by accident, that's for sure. It's there for some other reason. But then he says, if you start from Yehei Shmei Rabo until Olmo, like we said, you've got 28 letters. 28 plus 10 plus 4, how much? 42. So the whole Kaddish is then built on that 42 we were talking about. Where did you get the 28 from? He says, very interesting. It's what's called the Milu de Milu. You have a Milu de Milu, that means the Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. So the Yud therefore becomes 3, the Vav is another 3, the Dalet is another 4, another 3, I beg your pardon, Dalet. So you take the Milu of the Milu. So the Yud, which is spelt out, you've spelt it out, Yud, what have we said? Yud Vav Dalet. You now take the Yud Vav Dalet and the Milu of that. Work it out when you've got time. Got time now, we're overrun already. You'll work out, it comes to exactly 20. That's the Koyach of 28. It's the Milui de Milui of Hashem. It's the representation of the expansion of Hashem, so to speak. That's the Koyach of the Kaddish. So that gives you the 28. That's why Kaddish is based on this superb number of Koyach of 28. And if you add in, according to him, the 28, the 10, and the 4, that will bring us to 42. And this is another thing. If you start from, if you assume Yishbarach is part of the previous bit, which is, it isn't for us, but let's assume it is. You start from Vayishtabach, count 7 words with 6 letters each. Vayishtabach, Vishbarach, each one's got 6 letters. 7 words with 6 letters, come on. 42. And if you take the Vavs, the 7 Vavs of Vayishtab Vayurim, you get 7 times Vav, which is also 42. All that's in the Kaf HaChayim. So that's the Sephardi Segula. based on the Kabbalah. We Ashkenazim have got a different one. That's what I say. Whichever is yours, keep. Don't denigrate the other one. Both have got their Makairos, both as they should be. That's why I sometimes daven here, and I sometimes daven in Haggis. I get the best of both worlds. In Mitzvah Hashem, in the Zechus of saying Kaddish, with all its the hidden meaning, we should be able to be Makaddish Shem Shemayim.